We're doing Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. We're up to the 40th chapter, and the Medrash had been focusing on Moshe's conversation with Hashem, as Hashem is telling him to go and take the Jewish people out of Egypt, and Moshe, in his humility, keeps trying to push it off. And Amalu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says to Moshe, Lech v'shlachecha el paro. Go, and I want to send you to Pharaoh. Amar lefanav. Moshe says before Hashem, Ribon kol olamim, Master of all the worlds. Lochach amarti lecha en bikoach shani nifgam bilshoni. Haven't I been saying for 3 days now? Hashem keeps insisting, you go, or 7 days. And he keeps saying, I can't. I can't speak clearly. I have a speech impediment. Shneimar, the verse says, Vayomer Moshe l'Hashem. Moshe says back to Hashem, Lo ish devarim anochi. I am not a man of speech. Gam mitemol, gam mishilshom. Yesterday, 2 days ago, from the time we started talking, I keep saying the same thing. I can't do it. I can't represent you. Not only that, you're sending me into the hands of those who are my enemies and want to do me harm. Didn't I run away for that distinct purpose? Shnamal's the verse says, Moshe ran for fear of Pharaoh. So he's saying, God, what are you telling me to do? Pharaoh is the one that wants me dead. Amalu al tiramehim. So God says to Moshe, don't be scared of them. Shekvar metu kol anashim, hem bakshim et nafshecha. All the people who want you dead, well, they're dead already. V'chimetim ayu, were they really dead? V'alo chayim ayu, they were still alive. Ela sheyaldu minichsehim, but they lost their wealth. Mikan talamed, shekol ayurad minchasav, kilu met. Mechar ne'emar, ki metu kol anashim. Here we learn that he who loses his wealth, it's as though he dies. And that's what God was saying. All those who wanted you dead, they're already dead. So Hashem tells him, you go and don't worry about it. All the people who are trying to do you harm, they've lost their clout, and they can't touch you. Amar lo lech v'shlacha el paro. So God says, now I want you to go, and I'm going to send you to Paro. Amar lefanav ribon kol olamim shlachna biyad tishlach. Now here, the simple understanding is, the simple reading of the Medrash, is that even Pharaoh was a new Pharaoh. This wasn't the same Pharaoh he ran away from. And the original Pharaoh, the Medrash seems to be saying, he was demoted. There was a new dynasty. There was a whole new system in Egypt. Archaeologists suggest this, but the way the Medrash reads is certainly indicative of that, because ordinarily the Midrashim say what this Medrash said, but they leave out one pasuk. Meaning, ordinarily, Moshe says, what about all the people who want to harm me? And God says they've lost their assets. And the way Rashi learns is that that's talking about Dothan and Aviram, the two brothers who were fighting who got Moshe into trouble. And that's the way we would have read this Medrash. But the Medrash interjects a pasuk in the middle. The Medrash says, Moshe says, aren't you sending me into the hands of those that want me dead? Didn't I run from them? And then the Medrash quotes a pasuk. Moshe ran from Pharaoh. So the Medrash simply read is indicative of Pharaoh being the prime concern here. Not Dothan and Aviram, the way Rashi would suggest, Rashi on the Torah. It's not that Dothan and Aviram lost their wealth and therefore you don't have to worry about them. But the Medrash seems to be suggesting that the danger Moshe was concerned about was Pharaoh, and God was saying that Pharaoh no longer has his power. I'm sending you to a different Pharaoh. And this Medrash works very well with a Medrash that Rashi quotes later in the parasha. It says, when Moshe left Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, forget it, and then he made the decree even harsher, so then Moshe met people. And these people said to him, what you come for? You made it all worse. And Chazal say those people were Dothan and Aviram. Now, if Dothan and Aviram were now impoverished and they had no political clout, what were they doing over there heckling Moshe? But if we understand that when the Medrash says your enemies have lost their wealth, they've lost their political clout, that's a reference to Pharaoh. The Pharaoh I'm sending you to is not the Pharaoh you ran away from. So Dothan and Aviram, they could very well be in that same position they had earlier, and then it makes sense why they were there and they were arguing with Moshe as Moshe left. More, you want? Yeah.
What about the Pharaoh that Joseph, when Joseph was on here, didn't the Jews have a special place in that
So that we have two, we have Rav and Shmuel, Machlokis, whether he willfully forgot everything he owed the Jews, or it was a new dynasty. Vayokamel Chadash al Mitzrayim, the pasuk says in next week's parsha, a new king arose over Egypt. There's a medrash that says that when Yosef died, so the Egyptians allowed his house to be plundered. The Pharaoh let the masses, the mobs, come in and just take everything. That Yosef's wealth, from the minute Yosef died, there was already a movement in Egypt to try and put down the Jews. Amalo, Amal lefanav, so God said to Moshe, go, I want to send you to Pharaoh. And Moshe says before God, Ribon kol olamim, master of all the worlds, shelach nabiyat tishlach. Send in whoever you send with. What does he mean, shelach nabiyat tishlach? Send whoever you're accustomed to sending with. Biyadoto aisha ta'atid lishloach. Why don't you send the one you're planning on sending in the end anyways? I'm not going to do the final job. The final geula, you're going to send Elio. Moshe says, why are you sending me? I'm going to do half a job. I'll take them out of Egypt, and then it's not all over. Let's do games over. Send Elio, send the prophet who's going to end the whole story. God says, you got it all wrong. Elio, he does a different job. I didn't tell you to go to the Jewish people. I told you to go to Pharaoh. Ulota isha ta'omer, and that man you're talking about, that Elio, that final redeemer I'm going to send, and ishalech la'atid lavo li'Yisrael, I'm sending him to the Jewish people. I'm not sending him to Pharaoh. Your job is very different than his job is going to be. Shenemar, as the final prophet says, in the conclusion of prophecy, the last prophet we have is Malachi. And in the end of Malachi, Malachi concludes his prophecy. Malachi prophesied in the period of the beginning of the Second Temple. There's a discussion among our sages exactly who he was. One opinion says he was Mordechai. Mordechai from the story of Esther, that he was the prophet Malachi. Others want to say it was Ezra. And others say, and that seems to be the accepted opinion, that there was a man named Malachi. There was a prophet named Malachi, right? That's what we think. Malachi, my king. Malach Shali, Malachi. So, Malachi, we have three prophets. Haggai, Chaya, and Malachi. And their prophecy is already on a different level. They're prophesizing in a period in Jewish history where the Second Temple is beginning and God is distancing himself from the Jewish people, and they recognize that they are the last prophets. And the prophecy of Malachi concludes with a message that we will take with us for a few millennium to the point of the final Redeemer. Malachi concludes his prophecy and says, Hine anochi sholech lachem et Eliyahu anavi. Behold, I am sending you. I am sending you. The prophet Eliyahu, lifnei bo yom Hashem, before the great day, before the coming of the great day of God. So who God is sending, who will I send that final prophet to? Not to Pharaoh, to the Jewish people. When I send Eliyahu, his job is with the Jewish people. Right now I need a prophet who's going to work vis-a-vis Pharaoh. So that's not Eliyahu's job. So Moshe is making a claim and God makes a counterclaim. Amar lefanav, so Moshe says before Hashem, Ribon kol olamim, master of all the worlds, ten li mofet va'ot, give me something wondrous. Give me a sign. Moshe asks for something. Shem says, Amar lo ashlech et matecha arza. God says, okay, you want the sign? Throw your staff to the ground. We're going to see in a few chapters, the Medrash tells us that after he did all the signs, the Jews said, wait a second. They took all the information he gave them. They went to their leader, Serach bas Asher, a woman. Serach, the daughter of Asher, the stepdaughter, his wife's daughter. And she's an old woman. She's lived a few hundred years by now. And that's why they ask her, because when the Jews tried to rebel a few 30 years earlier, and they were all killed, so she said, what? Ephraim. So she said, don't go with them. And she was right. So they saw she knew what she was talking about, so they went there. And they said, he did this miracle and that miracle. And she says, I don't care what miracles he did. He's not for real. So then they said, yeah, but he said, Pakot Pakati Yischem. Redeem, I have redeemed you. She said, oh, if you got the code right, okay. I have a tradition that the true Redeemer is going to say that. Okay, then go with him. So her tradition, not the miracles. So that fits very well with what's happening here. God didn't tell him to go do the signs. Moshe asked for the signs. So God says, okay, you want a sign? Throw your staff to the ground. V'shtichet Mateu. He threw his staff outside to the ground. V'nasa nachash sarav. It became a snake, a serpent. I don't know how the Rambam explains that. I don't know. V'lama ra kadosh baruch hu lemoshe kenachash sarav b'mate. Why did God choose this sign that the staff turns into the snake? V'lo yirau davar acher. Why didn't God show him a different sign? Ela mipnei shanachash noshech hu memit livnei adam. But because the snake bites and kills people. Kach haya paro v'amo noshchin memitin t'Israel. And that's what was happening with Pharaoh. He and his people were biting and killing the Jewish people. That they were constantly killing. And then that snake became like a dry stick. Shneimar, the verse says, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe." God tells Moshe, "Shlach yadcha ve'chos biznavo." Extend your hand and grab its tail. Amar lefanav. Moshe still says before Hashem, Ribon kol olamim, ten li mofet. Master of all the worlds, now I want a tremendous miracle, something that a sign, meaning God is saying, you're going to take hold of the Egyptian empire. So he says, give me a sign that I'm fit to put down the Egyptian empire and take the Jews out of such defilement. Moshe thinks that he's not capable of doing it. God says, put your hand in your chest. He puts his hand in his chest. He takes it out of his shirt. Mitzorat. And it's all white. Why did God choose a defiled sign to show Pharaoh? That his hand became defiled. It became white. And here, the Medrash seems to be learning that the signs were for Pharaoh. The simple reading of the verses is that it was for the Jewish people. No, this is for Pharaoh. Why didn't he show him something pure? But the idea was, when a person has this white sign that makes him into Mitzora, he has this disease that's called Tzaras, it's not only that he's defiled, but anything he comes into contact with gets defiled too. Kach Moshe. So why does Moshe show a sign like that? Because it's indicative that kach hayu paro v'amot minum tamin d'Israel, that Pharaoh was defiled and was defiling the Jewish people, v'chazal v'nitar, and just as Moshe's hand again became pure, so too the Jewish people would again be purified when Hashem would take them out of Egypt. Yes? Yes. That's what Hashem was telling Moshe. This is how the Jews will also become clean of the Egyptian defilement. Hashem said, bring your hand back into your chest, and then it got pure, got clean again. Why did God show Moshe a fire in a bush, in this type of cactus? Ela ha'esh, elu Yisrael. But the idea is that the fire corresponds to the Jewish people who have the Shechina in their midst. We have Hashem in our midst. We have the Torah in our midst. So we are represented by fire. That's also the Navi says, that when there's the war of Esav, Esav is represented by straw, and the Jewish people are represented by fire. Shenim shelu la'esh shenema v'ya bet Yaakov esh. That's what the prophet says in Ovadia. The house of Jacob is fire. Vasne, in the bush, the dry cactus, Elu al Shaim. That's a reference to the wicked. Shenim shlu kekotzim uchedavodarim. They're always, the mashal, they're always represented with thorns. Thorn is something which is dry, it's easily burnt, it's something that hurts, and something that's not productive. Thorn bush doesn't have trees. So that doesn't have fruit. So that's the representation of the wicked. Amar lo kach yu Yisrael betoch arshayim. Lo yishan shel Yisrael ochelet arshayim shenimshelu kekutzim uchedardarim velo arshayim mechabin shel avatan shel Yisrael. Shein divrei Torah. God says to Moshe, you see the fire? You see the bush? The fire isn't consuming the bush and the bush isn't putting out the fire. Even though the bush has a source of water, this cactus only grows where there's water. So why isn't the water putting out the fire? Well, neither one's winning. And that's the way the Jewish people are going to be among the wicked. You're going to have the fire of Israel is not going to be able to put out the wicked. And the wicked are not going to be able to put out the fire of Israel. It's only in the future that their fire will be able to consume the wicked, that they're compared to these thorns. As the verse says, in the future time, then there's going to be this great fire and the nations are going to be described as the place where they burn the seed. אמר משה לפני הקדוש ברוך הוא, ריבון כל העולמים, הודיעני שמך הגדול והקדוש, שאקרא לך בשמך ותענני. Moshe says to Hashem, tell me your great name, your great and holy name, so that I'll call on your name and you'll answer me. If you tell me your secret name, then I'll be able to know that you'll answer me and you'll take care of everything I need to be taken care of when I'm with the Jewish people. Vehodio, and then Hashem revealed it to him. Shneimar, the verse says, Vayomer Elokim el Moshe, Eyeh asher eyeh. Vayomer od Elokim el Moshe vegomer. So Moshe was revealed this great secret. He knows the secret name of Hashem. So the angels above saw that God granted him this gift that he understood his hidden name. So they all said in unison, they all called out, blessed are you Hashem who grants knowledge. So Moshe was granted this knowledge. Hashem grants da'at. Now it's very interesting. What is da'at? So the Jerusalem Talmud quotes Amar Rebbe. Rebbe says, "Im en de'a tfila minayin." If there is no de'a, if you don't have knowledge, then how is a person supposed to pray? And that's why our Shmon Esrei begins with Atachonen Adam Da'at, with this blessing. Knowledge is the first step to be able to daven, and I have to begin to have some understanding. Now, over here we see an interesting point. What does it mean to know in biblical terms? Connect. Adam knew his wife and then she had children. So knowledge is connection. When Moshe knows the name, he can connect. Without knowledge, you can't have prayer. Without knowledge, you can't connect. You can't pray, you can't connect to Hashem. Moshe, when he has the hidden name, what does he have? He has knowledge. He also has a better connection. He can now better pray. He can now serve the Jewish people better. So it's interesting. Boch Hashem chonen adat. Chonen is a free gift. You give dat. What does dat mean? We could understand it on the simple level. Hashem, you grant knowledge. We could also understand it. Hashem, you grant the capacity to connect. Knowledge gives us the capacity to connect. One of the difficult things that we have is that people who are impaired, people who have all kinds of problems, can't get married. Because a guy who's intellectually handicapped, I mean, the guy who's retarded, can't get married. It's not only the physical things that have to happen, it's also a certain understanding of one another. You need knowledge to connect. The more knowledge, the more capacity to connect. And these two terms in Tanakh they overlap. And the truth is they go hand in hand. So here Moshe Rabbeinu was granted this knowledge which gave him the better capacity to connect. And this brings us to the conclusion of the fifth time that Hashem came down. If you recall, the Medrash says there were 10 times that Hashem came down to earth, and the fifth time was down to Egypt with the Jewish people, and the sixth time is going to be at Sinai, which is what we'll study starting with the next chapter, the 41st chapter, B'ezrat Hashem, next time.